This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Driving me mad, and we're not gonna take it. I'm fired up today. I don't know, shouldn't be fired up. I got a cough, but I'm still fired up today. The time is 9:07. The snow is falling. We got a winter storm warning in effect. Temperature 17 degrees here in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes, and it's hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. We want you to be part of the show. Are you fired up out there? Are you ready to push back against Donald Trump while everybody else seems to be lining up to lick his boots? Joe and Mika, Jeff Bezos, the powered moneyed interest. If you want some bootlickers, tune into Chris and Meg down the road, because I'm sure they're licking the boots right now. But we're not going to do that here. I was down for a while after the election. But now as we see Donald Trump again, every time he talks, makes me fired up. Reading that garbage he put out after the bipartisan agreement to keep the government open, him and his butt buddy Elon Musk. I mean, come on. It's time to push back. If the moneyed interests are going to keep writing $1 million checks to Donald Trump, well, that just means a million people have to push back harder. And again, I guess, you know, we are heading towards 2025. We're heading into another era, Trump 2.0. And it's time to make sure that he's not able to just run through everybody with the help of his rich buddies. 715-382-9297, 715-382-9297 to join us here on the program. And sitting patiently while I've been ranting and raving for the last half hour is our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Jed.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing.
Have you got the straight jacket for me?
You just said, but I promised my parents I keep my emotions under control.
Maybe your parents should tell me to keep my emotions under control. But
you have every right to be frustrated. I don't blame you for getting angry at all.
It's just that, you know, the childlike language. I mean, we talk a lot.
Support it.
We talk a lot about the battle of ideas, and it's about having adult conversations about the battle of ideas. But Donald Trump doesn't believe in that. He believes in trying to throw his weight around, trying to threaten people, try to use exclamation points and capital letters and childlike language. And that just really gets under my skin, because it's hard to have a rational conversation with somebody like that. And he's the president-elect of the United States of America that millions and millions of people have voted for. And that makes me very, very frustrated. So, and I should not fall into the trap of getting into name-calling as well. That's not good. I'm going to try not to do that. But at the same time, the idea of hearing this morning, seeing the story that MSNBC wants to be friendlier with Republicans. Now is not the time to be friendlier with Republicans who support a fascist president. Stop. End. Period. Exclamation mark. MSNBC is supposedly, and I use that word loosely, the liberal television network when it's not really. I mean, they're still as corporate as anybody else. But the idea of trying to make buddies with Trump and Trumpism and the people around him is not the way to go. We need to have a vibrant opposition in this country to fascism, not get along to get along. I mean, come on. Come on, as Joe Biden would say. Come on, people. And again, it that's very frustrating to me at this point. So as we get to 1 month away from Inauguration Day, we're going to have to keep an eye on this. And again, once January 20th occurs, Donald Trump says he's ready to go on day one. Well, doggone it, we better be ready to go on day one as well.
So, you're talking about the resistance in the next election? It's just during... I have a feeling this is going to turn into like a Star Wars situation, the Empire versus the Resistance.
Well,
instance. It's honestly, with the way Trump is acting and the way that people are lining up to support him, it definitely feels like he's trying to create an empire.
And the thing about it, just this week, he sued the Des Moines Register and their pollster. Because they put out a poll in the last week of the election season that showed that Kamala Harris might win the state of Iowa. And he's suing them over that. He's suing them over poll results. That is ridiculous.
And we don't even talk about a poll.
I know.
On our show.
I said to somebody, there was somebody that put a social posting that said, well, if Donald Trump wins this lawsuit, that could be the end of polling. I thought, well, I guess there's one thing I can like Donald Trump for. but that was a joke because I agree, because we do not spend our time talking about polls. We do not talk about the Marquette University Law Poll. We do not bring in Charles Franklin as some sort of deity that gives us some sort of incredible information that we should be talking about for 3 days straight. No, we don't do that around here on this program. But the idea of him suing because he doesn't like a poll result is ridiculous. It is childish. It is, again, throwing his weight around to try to muzzle people from saying things he doesn't like. We can't do that.
What if it was a poll that said that he would have won the state of Iowa? You think he still would have sued it?
No, of course not. And I mean...
That's because he only sues things that's not in his favor. And if it's in his favor, he doesn't touch it. If it's not in his favor, he launches an all-out assault on it.
Exactly. So again, now is not the time to lick the boots of Donald Trump. And we're seeing way too many folks licking the boots of Donald Trump. Get off your knees, people. We're
kissing his rings.
That's another good way of putting it. It's exactly right. So again, it's just it's a time to be very concerned and not to just sit back and hope that things, if we just do things the way we've always done things, like the Democratic Party right now in Washington, D.C. appears to be, that things are going to be okay. No, you got to be ready to push back. And just in the last hour, a nice posting from the Democratic leader in the United States House of Representatives, Akeem Jeffries. Hmm. He says, GOP extremists want House Democrats to raise the debt ceiling so that House Republicans can lower the amount of your Social Security check. Hard pass. Fight. Do not give in to Trumpism and Trump, hostage taking, basically. So fight. And Akeem Jeffries is going to be one of the most important figures in the United States of America starting January 20th. He better be strong. Yeah. And if he's not strong, the Democrats better realize it and move on to the next person. Mm-hmm. We cannot afford to have weak-kneed folks fighting against Donald Trump and Trumpism in the next 4 years. So.
I'm afraid that this is no longer a battle of ideas or a battle of personalities. I think it's going to turn into a battle of a democracy versus a monarchy.
Exactly, because that's what Donald Trump, they keep talking about how they love Turkey, which is an authoritarian government. And I'm not talking about Turkey the food, I'm talking about Turkey the country, that they love the way things are with Viktor Orban over in Turkey. Well, if we had that here in the United States of America, that would be authoritarianism. And I don't think that, and again, we've talked about this. I've said this before. January the 4th of 2026, a year and a half from now, is the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
A huge day for our country.
And I've said that it would be a shame if Donald Trump was president. Well, unfortunately, it looks like Donald Trump will be the president. But the next now aspect of it is to make sure that this country continues to live by the words of the Declaration of Independence beyond Donald Trump, beyond Trumpism, and to be able to get past this. But that only occurs if people are willing to push back against Trumpism for the next 4 years. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's loosen it up a little bit here. I've ranted and raved for the first hour plus here of this program. Coming up later in the program, we will try to get you back on the winning track. You snatched defeat from the jaws of victory yesterday. You had victory in your hands. You had it. You said it. You said it right.
I did.
And then, boom. So what are you this week?
Let's see. I am... 0 out of 3.
You have to think about that, huh?
I'm not sure I got my math right because I know today is Thursday, so I don't have a 0 out of 4 yet, and hopefully it stays that way.
I'm not going to give you the topic today because we need to break. We got to do something different because what is the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Because I think sometimes I give you that topic and you start thinking about it for the whole hour and you may think about it too much. So we're going to try something different today. We're going to save the topic. We're going to just throw it out there at the very end of the show.
Okay.
Because that's the last thing we always do on the program. And then see if that gets you back on the winning track. Because you have to get it right today and you have to get it right tomorrow.
I do, yes.
In order to pull out a passing grade.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
Absolutely. So that will be at the end of the show, part of our daily history lesson. The last segment, we will talk about some famous events that occurred on this date in history. We will talk about, as well, celebrity birthdays and the things that we're going to acknowledge as special events today as well. And then we wrap it up, the number for the day quiz with Ian. We give him 3 choices. And I cough again, so I'm getting choked up over the thought of Ian not getting this one right. So we got to get it right. Coming up, we're going to hear an interview we had last night with Jeff Schneider, the Marathon girls basketball coach. Good guy, real good guy. He's in his 20th year, and I just think interesting to hear about from somebody that's done it for a long time during this era where we see so many coaches that don't last as long. So we're gonna hear from Coach Jeff Schneider. He was on our big high school sports show last evening, and we're gonna share that with you coming up next. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Again, last evening had a chance to talk to the head girls basketball coach of Marathon High School, Jeff Schneider. And along with Jeff Grass, here's that conversation.
Thanks for having me.
How many years has it been now?
Oh,
I mean,
it gets harder to add up. Well, Jeffrey and I are the same age, so I'm not going to date him. But yeah, this is year 20.
Wow, 20 years. Before we start talking about your team, I mean, I remember when you first started. I mean, you were a very young man when you started, and you're still a very young man. But what have you learned in 20 years, maybe in a nutshell, that's changed? In terms of coaching, because I have to admit, I've been around this for a couple of decades, and it is not the same. It is different, and we don't see the long-termers as much anymore. There's so much that's asked of the coaches. There's so much that goes on. What is the biggest difference between now and 20 years ago?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I think a lot. I think, number one, that winning is important, but it's still important, but it feels like more now that I think it's more kid-centered, and I think that's a good thing, that sports is about the team, and it's about the experience that we can give high school kids or that kids can have. And whether that be, you know, they're the 20-point scorer or they're the captain or they're the last kid on the bench. And there's a spot and there's a place for everyone to really have a great experience. Yeah. And I think there's more attention to that now as opposed to 20 years ago. And I definitely think there's a lot more when Jeff and I were going up and going through it. And it was, I want to say it was more about winning. Winning is really important. But I do think it's more about the kids. And mm-hmm. I think that's a really good thing.
Have you had, because I think it's hard, because I look at back at myself when I started and now, and I even think back with my coaches, because we used to joke around and we'd have some tough coaches and we'd be like, oh, yeah. they got married and they softened up.
Yeah, yeah.
But have you felt you had a transition?
Because, oh, yeah.
Because it's number one, congrats, because this is not easy anymore, I think, to stay in one place. That's why people move, and or there's other situations where things change, and a lot of times coaches aren't about change. I have my way. I know how to do this, and I don't want to transition because I know this will work and this is better for the kids, and then they're forced to adjust or have to adjust or they just stop altogether. What have you looked back and felt you've kind of maybe transitioned or changed under? Do you feel that you have?
I think just being open to growth. I mean, I think when you're a young coach, you come in, you have your ideas. You've learned from the coaches that you've had. I mean, you learn from Coach Witter and other coaches too. And like, oh, but that's the way to do it. You know, I mean, that's what I was taught. That's what I'm going to teach my kids, my players, and it's going to work. And, you know, you just have to be, as you grow older, you actually grow as a, you know, knowledge, and then you find things that work for some teams and some teams not. And then I think the biggest thing is finding ways to simplify the game and simplify the way game in terms of the way we teach it. You know, we always say basketball is the most over-coached sport, but the most under-taught, if that makes sense. But, you know, and finding ways that I can really break it down for fifth and sixth and then all the way up through your varsity players so that when they get on the court, they can react, you know, and they can play and they can play with confidence. And that's really hard to do. And finding ways to be efficient. I mean, I always think everybody's idol for a good reason is Coach Wooden. And one thing that could make Coach Wooden really, really the best ever was he just found ways to make things as simple as possible for his guys, and they did things so efficiently that they got so good at what they did that they just played at this level that nobody else could play at. And obviously he had great players and things like that, but you know, I think that's been my goal, is just to try to make it so that how can we teach it the best so that as many kids as possible can learn how to play the game and have a great experience.
On that same line, I think it may have been before the first game of the season, one of the early games of this season when I was talking to you, and you were talking about, you know, you have these ideas about teaching the game, starting at the very lowest levels, yeah, and being able to make it go through a program. And my first thought is, this is not a guy who's tired of the job. This is not a guy that's, yeah, thinking about finding the exit, because you're still thinking about the game. You're still thinking about building the program. You're talking about the kids that are down at the lower levels, trying to, yeah, make the pathway up towards junior varsity, varsity basketball. Can you talk a little bit about those thoughts, maybe in terms of, because I was talking to Jeff a little bit earlier in terms of, we see in this era more girls basketball players from Wisconsin that are playing at the highest levels, at, mm-hmm, UConn and in Division I. But at the same time, I also see, I think, a lot of basketball that may not be at the level that it's been in the past either. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with maybe not having that synergy from beginning of, mm-hmm, the basketball road at a certain program up to the varsity level. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, how have your thoughts either developed, or where do you stand now? How close are you to implementing what you want to do? Maybe just a little thought, because I found that very interesting.
Yeah, thank you, Chad. I think it's going to be a continuing work in progress, but I'd say since COVID, especially, just, you know, I think COVID, you know, you go back and you just look at everything you do and how you do it and is it effective. And you know, we as teachers, we try to do that in the classroom too. And it's a long, long process. I don't think anybody's got it completely figured out, but what my ultimate goal would be as a kid that comes into, even as a kindergartner, and they come to our Saturday morning things, and then they grow up and they learn to compete, and they learn to love to play the game, and they learn how to be a great teammate and have a great experience. And obviously some kids are going to like basketball more, they're going to like volleyball more, they're going to like this sport more or whatever, and that's fine. But if this is something they want to do, the framework is there so that they can, if they want to, they can really fall in love with it and go with it. And then you have maybe that kid that really just takes it and does play Division I basketball or something like that, you know. And so yeah, it's very difficult. The leadership that it takes is extremely, extremely tough, and I'm just going to continue to work at it and try to set things there so that you know, kids learn the right way, not saying the right way, but they learn so that they can sustain interest. They have enough success that they can continue to play and continue to play and continue to play until they choose that, you know, they don't want to play for the right reasons. And it's not because they didn't have the opportunity, or mm-hmm. it's not because they didn't have the knowledge and the things to do what they needed to do to be successful at the game.
We will have more with Marathon head girls basketball coach Jeff Schneider in just a few minutes. First, we have to take a timeout, have an information update, get the latest news, weather, and sports as we do at the top and bottom of every hour. The time is 9:29. Again, the snow is falling here in downtown Wausau. 17 degrees is the temperature. Chad Holm Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Chad Holm Show, 98.9 WXCO. The time is 9:34 again. Snow is falling here in downtown Wausau. Last evening on the Big High School Sports Show, had a chance to talk to Marathon girls basketball coach Jeff Schneider, and here's the continuation of that conversation.
For us, you know, we're really lucky that we have eight seniors, and that, I don't know if any other team has that, and I'm not, whatever, don't want to brag about it, but we are really proud of that. And they're just super kids. All of them have worked hard, and they've become great leaders. And before the season started, you know, you always try to set your goals and expectations and things. And these kids came to me and said, hey, these are the standards that we want, you know, and that whether we win this many games or not or whatever, that this is the team we want to have. And, you know, we want to have a team that's accountable to each other. We want to have a team that is, you know, great teammates. We want to have a team that encourages each other, supports each other no matter what. And they've set the tone right from the beginning. And our practices have been some of the best practices that I've been involved in 20 years. And it's been super enjoyable. The competition level, the basketball, the improvement, the growth that we've seen, and, you know, carrying that over to the games is very difficult, but that will come as we keep going throughout the season. So I'm just super proud of them, the eight seniors. I think they've set the tone that this team is going to be the best that it can be. This team's going to get to where they should get to, and then as a coach, that's all you can ask for, and we'll see where that goes.
Is the I watched you play again. I mean, I've only seen a couple games. I've listened to Chad on a couple things or watched on the radio or watched the game at Newman, things like that. I thought very disciplined, the kids. You know, they're trying to, that it's called out, they're running it, they get to the spots, and they just know. You know, that obviously comes from the top. Now you got to work that. It's, you know, is that a hard process to get instilled, where there's the on-court awareness balanced with the work ethic, balanced with the desire? I mean, that's a constant work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And the kids have been so great because we've transitioned over the last few years to, you know, we don't run nearly as many sets. We don't even run a patterned offense. We run actions, and trying to get those actions to go You know, we call it triggers. This triggers this action and this type of thing. Then they play off of each other, and that's hard to do. And they've bought into that, and they've tried that, and we failed. But then we've come back and seen success that we can have by just, you know, we say just playing basketball. You know, it kind of goes back to that youth thing. Is everybody knows what great basketball looks like because we can watch it and say, oh, that's amazing, great pass. But how do you teach that, and how do you get that flow and that rhythm with all five kids? And it's going to be a continuing work, but we've seen glimpses of it, and that to me is one of the greatest joys of part of the game.
Again, we're talking to Jeff Schneider, the head girls basketball coach at Marathon High School here on 98.9 WXCO. I've seen with your team something I usually see when I'm going to do a hockey game. Line changes. I saw it on Monday night when you had five come in and then you had five come out, and you've probably gone as deep as anybody so far this season because you said you have eight seniors and you have some good underclassmen as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be difficult when you have a lot of kids that can play. And how are you going about that? Because you do have a lot of kids that can play.
Yeah, and I think it's something, as you know, as Jeff alluded to, you kind of works itself out as the season goes on. But right now, all of them have been super at, you know, we say when you're out there, because we're going to utilize our depth, is we want to play at, we use this word pace. You know, we want to play at this pace that obviously is up and down, but at the same time is, you know, built on pressure. So in order to play pressure defense, you know, requires a huge amount of effort. And if we can get, you know, a lot of kids doing that, you know, we feel like we can wear down teams. And we've had, you know, by far, we've had better second halves than we've had first halves this year. And I think that's a credit to our kids and our depth and playing a lot of kids. And but, yeah, it is difficult, you know, trying to find different combinations and mixes and matches and things like that. And obviously some kids need to be on the floor more than others, and we're figuring that out and learning that. And certain kids have done a little bit more scoring, and we know obviously that's important. And so we'll continue to develop it. But yeah, I just, you know, we think we have the more depth than anybody, and we're going to continue to use it as much as we can.
Assumption Thursday night.
Yep.
Right. Is that depth going to come into play and help in that? I mean, because of the pace, you know, they play at that pace, they throw some pressure at you, they're up and down the floor. I guess at the end of the night, what do your girls need to do well tomorrow to have the success you want in that basketball game?
Yeah, I think the depth can really help because, you know, I think we can give some pressure on our own or from our end too. And just make it as difficult as possible for them to, you know, maybe get the ball, work to get the ball up the court a little bit, and then also work to get in any sort of rhythm. You know, they've got great shooters. They've got good passers. They've got penetrators. They've got kids that play good near the basket. And whatever, you know, if you let them do those things and find those things and find those kids, well, they're going to score a lot of points, which they have this year. You know, but for us to disrupt is our goal, and, you know, get deflections and, you know, make passes difficult. We want to push the ball, get it on we call it the lock left, the left side of the floor, where kids are going to use their weak hand, or more than likely their weak hand, and they're going to try to have to pass it out of there against more of a denial on that side of the court. And, you know, getting that and then maybe getting some things off of our defense where we don't have to deal with their pressure and then going, you know, getting up the court. But, yeah, their pressure is tremendous. And they're super athletic. I mean, they have, you know, the Shaw girl is one of the best athletes I've ever seen in terms of just her hands and her quickness and things like that on the defensive end are super. So, it takes a lot of fundamentals. It takes a lot of confidence. It takes a lot of coming to meet the ball and talking and playing with all five. And it's, you can't draw it up on the whiteboard because it's going to be different every time. Yeah. So kids have to learn to react and play off each other.
We had a chance to talk to Miley Halkey here on the program a few weeks back, and she's off to a really good start, 13 points per game.
Yeah.
She's continued to grow, hasn't she?
She has. And one thing about Miley is, like, you know, seeing her in middle school and then and grow, you know, she was always by the basket, you know, as a young kid, because she did a super job of, you know, post moves and finishing and catching and finishing. And now she's expanded her game, and she's taken it upon herself that, you know, she really wants to be a complete player. You know, she wants to be able to make shots on the perimeter. She wants to be able to drive the ball. She wants to be able to finish and even dish the ball. And, you know, she had three assists the other night. So she's having a great season. She's off. She works super hard and has some really, really nice goals. And you always want kids that, boy, I want to go. I want to play college basketball, or I want to do this, or I want to. And that's just, those are the kids you love because they're just driven.
The games that I've seen, when I look at your stats, there are girls that have such a broader influence on what you do than what shows up on the score sheet. Who are some of the girls that are the glue girls in terms of what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, I was talking about our seniors before. You know, we have eight, and, you know, right now we have pretty much six that, you know, play quite a bit. Like we said, we play a lot of kids, and, you know, they've all had different paths. They've had injuries. Some have come back from, you know, knee surgeries. Some of them, you know, have played since their sophomore year. Some of them didn't play as much until this year, and they've all just meshed, you know, and they like basketball. Maybe it's not their number one sport, but they want to contribute to our team and they want to contribute to our program. And that's what I really love about them. And I think they're glue. I think they're all glue kids. We have three seniors that start: Chenping Pakatong, Kyla Heisey, and Caden Sapinski. And they're, you know, they've got some experience, but they also, you know, they've had their ups and downs, and they just continue to battle and continue to compete and always give it on the defensive end. And you know, three others that come off the bench and do a great job there: Danica Pashek, Addison Malepsky, and Izzy Varden. Who, you know, Izzy came into this year with very limited experience and has done a super job, you know, for the varsity. So I'm just super proud of them. They, you know, they've done a great job. Katie Cliver is another senior who is coming back now from a knee surgery, second knee surgery. And then Katie LeBlanc, who was a great volleyball player, played when she was younger, now just decided to come back and play basketball because she just wants to play and be with these kids. So super all glue kids, all leaders, and all, like I said, have, you know, accountability.
And how do you, so, you know, it's a unique setup sometimes when you have that amount of seniors, but you have underclassmen that you got to play, because as a coach, people think you're only in the moment, but you're worried about 4 years ago as well as 4 years ahead, because you've got to continue player development. You got to continue the team program that you got instilled, and it's constant. And so you got to bring those kids along, get those groups to mesh. How about those, the underclassmen? How are they coming along? Who's contributing there? Things like that.
Yeah, well, we've talked about Miley and you know, her inside-out game is you know, improved, and it'll continue to improve. And that allows her to just do so many things on the offensive end. Emma Love has been a girl that she is super willing to do whatever's asked of her, and super willing to do, what do I have to do just to become a better player and more effective player or more effective scorer or passer or whatever it is. And she's taken great steps in by the basket and being able to, you know, get position and being able to pivot and turn and finish, and against tall kids, against, you know, kids that can jump. And she's done a super job. And, you know, at any given night, like Monday, she had 20. She can go off and get 20 or even more. So, we're super excited for her that she just keeps getting better. And then we have three sophomores that don't have a lot of experience. They played a little bit last year, but, you know, they're growing and they're going to go through growing pains. And but I think they all bring, you know, things that can help the team, and have shown that they can help the team, whether it be defending or rebounding, passing the ball, and even scoring at times. So Caitlin Love, Macy Mishka, and Maven Schneider.
Schneider?
No relation. No, I'm just kidding.
So and you did with a true dad coach.
Yeah.
We're listed. She got stuck at the end because she's the coach.
How long can you hold it on?
She always gets the short end of the stick, unfortunately.
Tell her we're thinking about it. She should have been first.
I know.
Go ahead.
But, no, they've all worked super hard and have meshed well, and, you know, trying to find roles and things like that here early in the season. And it's great. I mean, they're going to have ups, they're going to have downs, and they're going to keep playing and keep getting better. And, you know, I think sometimes as a coach, you just got to understand that, and you got to take, you gotta let them fail, and you gotta just grow and understand that's part of the process, and that they're kids, and we just gotta keep going and keep fighting. And we always say next play. You know, Coach K was always next play. Well, you know, it's next play, and you know, we're gonna keep living by that.
Well, we keep saying the number 20, and I officially came. Many guys mentioned I felt old. And getting older, right? Anyways, so again, I love the lifelong coach, because I just think sometimes it's easy to problem, and you get there and you're established and you have success and you're enjoying it and you keep coming back for more because it's just such an awesome thing. I think that all snowballs into good things. For you, 20 years. What's been so great about coaching? What keeps you going? Because it's easy to get exhausted. I mean, we're all looking tired in here right now. It's easy to get exhausted at this point. But what is it about it that is that refreshment for you, that it's this is a big deal, this is why I do this?
I think just number one, the kids. I mean, the kids are just so, you know, to see kids come to practice and work their tails off after some of them have, you know, just some. They have a lot, you know. I mean, they go through school day. There's pressure on grades. There's pressure with, you know, whatever they have, their friends and relationships and their parents. And, I mean, there's a lot. And to see kids come and work so hard and support each other and buy into some good culture things, that for me is the most rewarding. Games are great. I mean, the competitiveness and the fans and that type of thing, that's really cool. But for me, being able to go and spend that hour and a half or 2 hours with these kids that work hard and want to get better, and you can see growth. It's messy, but at the same time, it's so rewarding. And that's the best part for me is practice. And I love it. And I could do that every day. And then the games are great too. But like I said, that keeps me going.
Head girls basketball coach at Marathon High School, Jeff Schneider. It's been a pleasure working with him for the last 20 years. Been covering Marathon High School sports. Coming up, we'll have our daily history lesson. Can Ian get back on the winning track?
I certainly hope so.
Have not told him the topic yet, but I think he's going to like this topic. So nice. We'll have that coming up. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app again. The snow is falling. It was just starting when we started the show this morning, but the the snow has started to move on, and we are going to have a winter storm warning until 3 a.m. this early Friday morning. But right now it is the 19th day of December of 2024, and it is day number 354 this year. There are 12 days remaining in this year, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1843, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens was first published in England. On this date in 1980, Santa Claus robbed a bank in Berkeley, California by threatening to blow it up. A short time later, police arrested a hefty 50-year-old man with a sack full of money, still wearing his Santa outfit. On this date in 1997, one of the biggest movie hits in history, Titanic, opened in North American theaters. On this date in 2001, the fire at the World Trade Center as a result of the September 11 attacks was finally extinguished after 3 months. On this date in 2018, the first use of a drone to deliver vaccines went to the island of Aramango Vanuatu. UNICEF delivered them. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Tim Reed, who played Venus Flytrap on one of my favorite television shows of all time, WKRP in Cincinnati. Tim Reed is 80 years old today. Actor Mike Lookinland. He played Bobby Brady on The Brady Bunch. But hard to believe he is now 64 years old. Actor Jennifer Beals. Her biggest role was in Flashdance. 61 years old today. Magician Chris Angel is 57. Christy Swanson, who played Buffy the Vampire Slayer originally in the movie. That was before the TV series. Christy Swanson is 55 years old today. Actor Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss is 52. Jake Gyllenhaal, Spider-Man Far From Home, is 44 years old today. Maria Sokolov of Fuller House is 44. Janelle Evans of Teen Mom 2 is 33. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Holly Day. It is Look for an Evergreen Day. It is Hard Candy Day. It is Regifting Day. It is Emo Day. And it is Oatmeal Muffin Day. So those are some of the special events being acknowledged here today on September the 19th of 2024. All right, it is now time for our number for the day quiz. As every day, we always wrap up the program by playing the number for the day quiz with Ian. We give him three choices. So based on the math, just by guessing, he should get one out of three right, which is 33%. So anytime he's above 33% for the week, it's a passing grade. If he's below 33%, it's a failing grade. We also try to get him more wins than losses, which is 3 out of 5. And then, of course, his best week ever has been 4 out of 5 correct, and still trying to get that perfect 5 out of 5 week. Unfortunately, so far this week, he's on a perfect week, but the other direction. He's had three consecutive incorrect answers. So today, he has to get it right in order to give himself a chance for a passing grade tomorrow. And today, our topic is Christopher Reeve.
The original Superman.
The original Superman and Superman 2, Marlon Brando in the original Superman, he received a paycheck of $3.7 million. In the original Superman and Superman 2, Gene Hackman, who played Lex Luthor, he received $2 million for being in the movies. For both Superman and Superman 2, Christopher Reeve received less money than either of those two actors. Really? How much money did Christopher Reeve receive for Superman, and then again the same amount for Superman 2? Is the correct answer $250,000? Is the correct answer $500,000? Is the correct answer $1 million? So Christopher Reeve earned how much money in Superman and then again also in Superman 2? $250,000? $500,000 or $1 million. And again, Marlon Brando received $3.7 million for Superman, and Gene Hackman received $2 million for Superman and also Superman 2.
I'm just taking a shot here. I'm going to go with $500,000. One would be. I'm not going to overthink this.
You haven't given us... You have to say if it's your final answer.
Oh, you want me to say it? Okay.
Because you have to make it official.
500, 1,000 is my final answer. Sorry, I forgot to say that.
All right. Christopher Reeve in both Superman and Superman 2 earned $250,000.
Really? That's not a lot of money.
No. He was basically an unknown at the time, while Brando and Hackman were stars. But then became the true star of Superman. But he received a lot less money.
That's
very
bad for him. That's terrible.
All right. The tough week continues. We'll try to get one tomorrow.
Yep.
Have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And we'll be back tomorrow, 8 till 10 a.m. Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.